So, I spoke last time. What? 4 weeks ago? On the believer's mentality. And now I'm going to speak on fallen angels' mentality. And, you know, so we can just kind of get a gist of what it is we have to deal with when it comes to spirits that are blind to us in a lot of ways, that are working to get us to will and to do after their pleasure, right? And because they have a goal, and this is what we have to contend with. People, places, and things, and spirits. Amen. Bless the Lord. And so when I say bless the Lord, I look for JJ. Oh, he's here. Okay. Yeah, so bless God. So Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day-starved son of the dawn. You are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mountains of assembly or Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the farthest reaches of the pit." Now, so what's going on here is that God was addressing the king of Tyre. Hiram was his name. And he was addressing him through Isaiah, his prophet. And Isaiah, in speaking what he was speaking, went into a duplicitous mode, speaking to two people at once, right? Satan and this king. Because he's telling Hiram, how you are fallen from heaven. But Hiram hasn't fallen from heaven. Get it? Right? Are we there? We remember this passage? Okay, so we have to study and show ourselves approved. Okay, what's going on is, an analogy is, I think I mentioned this, I can't remember, but Peter, for instance, telling Jesus, say it isn't so, and Jesus is directing a statement to Satan while he's talking to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Understand? Okay, so the same thing is happening here with Isaiah addressing this king. One minute it's all about the king, and the next minute it quickly segues into Satan and what Satan has done, right? Obviously, this king hasn't fallen from heaven, right? This king didn't cut down the ground and lay the nations low. This king was the king of one area, right? This king, like most kings in that time and in this time, there's something in them that is a curse that is actually trying to provoke them into seeking and pursuing power, strength, recognition, right? Wealth. You know, they're self-centered. And if you're not in God, what can happen is you can accept a position, and you can even accept it prayerfully. But if you step outside of the will of God and start looking at the gain for yourself, you can become, right? So this king, Hiram, is indicative in his actions, thoughts, and characteristics as Satan. And what God saw in Satan when he found unrighteousness in him. Now, you guys know that in Ezekiel. Until unrighteousness was found in you, you were blameless. Right? Right. Bless the Lord. Okay. So let that establish or be the premise for this, okay, is that that this king became proud. And while God was addressing this king, he also made light of or emphasized Satan's character. Now, it says here that Satan said in his heart that he will sit on the Mount of Assembly, right? In the sides of the north, right? He said this in his heart. And one thing to pay attention to is that that's just not past tense in his heart. He still wants this. These things that are mentioned are still his goal and drive, right? And in order to get this, he promises us and offers us things to help build his throne, okay? And so in order to get where he's going, he needs subjects. Whether we're consciously aware that we're bowing down to him or not, when we're self-seeking, we're serving his goal. That makes sense? Bless the Lord. Oh, okay, so we need to be cognizant, be aware of that. He operates in a way, his mentality is that, you know, I'm going to get what I need through people by, of course, deceiving them into believing that what they're going after is good for them, right? Even the garden is the first thing that should come to mind, right? Okay, this is good for you, make you like the Most High. Well, that was his goal. He wanted to be like the Most High, right? So through this mental transmission, so what we're buying into through the media and through friends and then the lusts and drives of our own hearts, especially in movies and the actors and actresses in the movies. I remember my mom used to talk about Elizabeth Taylor and all her many husbands and a diamond called Hope and, you know, all this stuff, right? That was very glamorous at the time, right? Of course, she's dead. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we're not going to die. We're all going to die. But it just shows you how short-lived those goals are, right? They're not the promises of God. We're actually supposed to seek our treasure in heaven, okay? Now, don't get it twisted, because I always say this. You can have something here, 50 cents. You know, don't look. If all you need is 50 cents, God is going to give you what you need, all right? But stay within the confines of God, because when you start stepping outside of the confines of God, right, you start to operate and you start to want what people that are going to hell want. Elizabeth Taylor wasn't preaching the gospel, right? I mean, many marriages is not an indication that she's been studying the word, right? Okay, now you can pride yourself in your beauty, ladies. I've had 11 husbands, right? But, you know, really, now, think about what I'm saying. So we'll catch on to this stuff, and then without even submitting this stuff to God, it can become our own way of life, right? The movie star life, actors are putting on a show that we want to act out in reality, right? So the enemy has Hollywood. We know that. There's still some Christians there in Hollywood, but we know for the most part, 98% of Hollywood is influencing the unbelieving world and the world that consists of people that just wants God to bless their endeavor, right? Okay, so, I mean, now, honestly, let's think about this here. He's clever. He operates in darkness. We may not blame him. I mean, I could just give her a tip. Oh, Doretha, don't pursue that, because that's coming, you know, to a bad end. You know, I may not tell her, you know, that's demonic. Because when you start talking about demons, people start thinking, oh, you calling me Freddy Krueger, and I got Chucky in me. Is that what you're saying? Right? So this is another way. This is another way that Satan has derailed the truth of what demons are. Okay? So we're thinking only about the scary movies, right? Or conjuring up some crazy demon that's going to you know, pitchfork you or whatever the case may be. But the truth is that that's a plot, a ploy. That's a decoy, okay? Demonic thinking may have nothing to do at all with a crazy-looking horror flick person, right? Nothing at all to do with that. Matter of fact, he parades himself as an angel of light, right? Right? Bless the Lord. Okay, so look, he's a manipulator. What is the mentality means? I wrote this down. I know we all think we know because we think we know everything. And so I'm here to tell me and us. Right? The mind or way of thinking, or a person or a group. If someone mentions my state of mentality, why do I take offense? I mean, if you call me, oh, he got a mental problem, right? The first, I'm going to take offense to that, right? But we all have mental problems. Yes. And it's the truth, yes. Right? So we can all be offending each other all the time. Now, for the Christians, we might want to accept. It sounds better than you got a demon, right? Okay, so we might want to accept that. Now listen. Christians, and I've said this before too, and I don't mind saying it again. A Christian cannot be overtaken fully by a demon because God's spirit lives in you, right? But if you have areas of your heart that you refuse to surrender to God, a demon can occupy that area. He can live comfortably there, right? He can't overrule your whole being, but he can definitely get some work done through that little compartment that you refuse to surrender to God, right? Bless the Lord. Bless God. Okay, so yeah, it's not about you guys are all demon possessed, you know, and I'm here to cast out the demons. It's not like that. I'd be first to go. But what it is that I think we have a resistance to yielding our will to God based on our fleshly lust, because we really think we can't do this. How can I do life without this or without that? This feels so good to me. There's nothing like sex. God made it that way. If you love food, I think it's cool. But if you love food or whatever, right? Food for some might replace the sex drive, right? It might. If you ask me, I think it's just an alternative. I think sex is number one in many cases, right? And so, you know, you might eat because you can't have sex, you know. And I think that happened in the early churches where people would just go eat all this chicken on Sunday. You know what I mean? Because they knew they had to consecrate, right? And they couldn't do what they wanted. So, I mean, but God, listen, the Lord made it powerful. He did that for us. Animals don't enjoy the power and the sensation of sex. God did it for us. But in the confines of marriage, that's his intention. But if you step outside of marriage, it's going to be hard to step back into marriage and consecrate. And since you've tasted the fruit of that tree, that taste will sometimes come back. And sometimes it's overwhelming. We can't seem to think, well, we're doing everything right. How come I'm getting this pull? Right? Okay, well, you ate off the tree. That's the bottom line. You know the taste. And from time to time, you're going to be like the Israelites in the desert. I miss the food we used to eat. Right? The leeks. Right? Okay, we're human beings. God made us in a way that we would be dependent on him. All right? Now, if you lie to yourself and say, there's no way I can do this without this, so I'm going to hold this, whatever this is, in my heart, some of us holding many things in many compartments in our hearts, right? If we believe that, then we have his mentality. Get it? This is the devil's mentality, right? That it's a retardedness. And no one wants to hear that either. I'm not retarded just because I can't help it. I'm porn up all night. You know, I'm not retarded. That's just, you know, something I did, and I'm going to pray and get over it and get past of it. No, there's a deficit there. A need was not met in your life. It wasn't. And somehow you're trying to supply and fix and heal that area and fill that deficit with something illegitimate. That's not how he wants you to fill it. Even though it doesn't look like we should turn to him for that, because how's he going to make me feel that erotic sensation? I haven't known God to do that today. Just make somebody feel the I'm trying to be consciously aware here, but to feel that heightened feeling, right? Okay. It's not like God's doing that. So what's there to replace that? So I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm going to keep that here, you know, and I'm going to roll with everything else that I can do. But this is against the will of God. And there's nothing he asks us to do or commands us to do that he won't help us fulfill. It's that he'll help us do it. The problem is confess. Confess this area of my heart. I don't trust you. I don't trust you to give me anything satisfying above that which I feel is satisfying. Make sense?
Yes.
Bless the Lord. Because that was hard to tell you. It was hard telling you. Okay. So the definition of a fallen angel is an evil spirit of the devil, especially one thought to possess a person or act as a tormentor in hell. Now, look, when everything's set and everything and folks are in hell who belong in hell and stuff, I don't think the devil's going to be coming around poking you with pitchforks and tormenting you. I don't think, because he'll be in utter torment. Everything there will be, you get it? It's like, I don't have time to torment you, I'm tormented. Right? It doesn't even make logical sense. It doesn't. Right? Now, he's there now, and he can torment us now. Because if we walk in the domain that's been given to him, this domain, he's been subjected to it. The Lord has condemned him there. It's darkness. It belongs to him. And when we step into darkness, we can get the pitchfork. Okay? Through lies in his media and all the promises and all of this stuff. Listen, he works with thought manipulation. He wants us to think wrong, like they think. His demons or fallen angels. I was doing a study on demons, so I've been using it interchangeably, but it might. Anyway, we'll get there. All right, let's move on. I already covered this. If I wanted to trap you, and listen, I'm very moderate. I am not claiming left or right when it comes to politics. So when I bring up politics, people get up and run out and they throw rocks through the window. But, you know, what I'm trying to say is that for most black people, we know that it was a Republican president that set the slaves free. You knew that, right? Okay. All right. So if you were like a Republican today, if you chose as a black person, if you chose to be a Republican today, it might not fare well with your black brothers and sisters. Because we have a Republican president that has been scrutinized in a way that it's deemed he's racist. Okay. So if I knew you had a history, Deborah, of going through racism and racist attacks and slurs and, you know, all the degrading, degenerating remarks and all this kinds of sorts of stuff. And then I told you, you know, that president of yours, he racist, right? That might make you leave that party. Make sense?
Yes.
Okay, because that's offensive to me. This president is he racist? And I know what racism is. This is no joke. Right? So the enemy might throw in there, hey, racism isn't enough. We got all kinds of things or people groups that are climbing, you know, to public awareness today that are of all types of backgrounds that have seemingly attached themselves to the black experience in terms of racism. Hate. Hate is very inclusive, right? It's you know, it's unparalleled today. So much can fit in that category, right? And so help me here, Lord, please. So if you also throw that in there, right, with the Republicans, they're racist and they hate groups. It's not just your race. It's groups of people. Whatever your group is, transgender, what does pastor say, LGBTQHD, all of those different. Okay, if you throw that in there, right, then you have a conglomerate of people that are now hating the Republican Party. Then, if you tie it in with Christianity, what do you have? I mean, if you're not a solid Christian and you know the word and you're trying to serve and surrender your life to God, and you're looking at this party, it looks pretty evident that what they're saying is true, and plus, this is Christians, these are Christians, you get it? Yeah. Now, I can't vouch for anything, the abnormalities, the misconduct and all of this stuff. I'm not trying to go into that with this president. I'm really not. Because I'd have to go into it with every other president. Okay? They've all fallen short. Okay? But my point for using this is not to get you to become a Republican. I'm a moderate. Remember that. It's not to get that, but it's to show you how Satan can set the stage and sway a people, even to the degree that in order to win the race and keep a Democrat, non-racist, non-hating person in office, we're willing to accept LGBTQ. Sin, what abortion after birth, that's not abortion. It's not abortion, that's murder, right? You're right. So now look, okay, if I asked you as a Christian, you believe in, you know, long-term abortion, you'd probably say no. No, I don't. But if I ask you, you're going to vote for Trump? No, I'm not. Well, why not? He a racist and they racist and they hating and blah, blah, blah. Okay? Again, this isn't like the enemy, a subliminal message to get you to go and become a Republican. I just thought of this when I was working this out, that this would kind of detail how the enemy actually works to sway us and to move us, okay? Now listen, I'm not talking either about abortion in the sense that I have my own feelings about abortion, right? I'm not trying to jack up the women that may have or are planning on it or anything like that. I would say don't plan on it, you know, but that's really, what you turn around and tell me, well, you don't know how it is. You never had a baby. True. It's true. You know, I don't plan on that either. I don't. What I plan on, though, is opening the door so that we can see the enemy for what he's worth. Right? Okay. And that's what came to me when I was writing this. Okay? Okay. So now, I'm kind of talking about demons and hell and everything. But real Christians obviously exist in both sides. I'm serious business. There's some leftist movements right now that are going so far left. Lefts don't want to go that far. Am I telling the truth? Okay. And so, and I believe there's Christians in there in that party. And I also believe there's Christians, you can attest to it when you go to those things in Kentucky and all of this, and how they're very right-wing Republicans. They're not. They're Christians loving on you. Okay? Loving the Word of God. And learning to come to the center, which is what the common denominator. The center is Jesus. Right? Okay? Now hear me out. Okay? You're coming from north, south, east, and west, deaf, dumb, and blind. Okay, this is what Isaiah says. So consider this. You're not fully equipped far over on the right. You get it? You're deaf, dumb, and blind there, just the same as someone far over on the left. Okay, deaf, dumb, and blind. But he's saying he's going to open up the eyes of everyone that seeks him. Because he's going to be the moderate, the moderator, the one in the middle, the common denominator, the true king, the prince of peace. The government will rest on his shoulders. Okay, and look, in his time, this is what we have to look forward to. He's not going to be concerned that you were a far right Republican wing swinging, Trump supporting. He's not going to care about that. He's not going to care about your humanitarian efforts far on the left, reaching out to all over the world, supplying food and welfare and everything and making sure it's one happy, everybody have a house, place to live. He's not going to care. Christians, we are different. We stand out. Come from among all that. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. We've been tricked and we're being tricked. And if this was a house full of Republicans, I'd say the same thing, only on the Democratic side. You get what I'm saying? Bless the Lord. Clifina. All right. Because I knew you were going down to register Republican. And I wanted to make my point. So this isn't a political. Is it a political speech? You guys, it's not. It's really not. Okay. All right. Bless the Lord. All right. I had a friend, Kent, and then, I shouldn't have said his name. Oh, man. Oh, no. So, anyway, I'd strike that. We're moving on. Okay, so now there's a, I can't even use that now. So, look, what place without God should we be concerned with? See, okay, in Hebrew, I've been studying Hebrew. Tohu v'bohu, that means chaos and confusion. And so when I like the word tohu v'bohu, it took me a long time to get it down because they use like letters called bets that look like B's in English, but they have a V in Victor sound. It's really weird, right? But tohu v'bohu, it means chaos and confusion, all the darkness and everything that's mentioned in Genesis. So Genesis 1 says, let there be light, or in Hebrew, meaning from Strong's is illumination. Luminary. If your room was dirty and your mom told you to go clean up your room and you're in there trying to do it in the dark, you're going to have a hard time. Right? So then the Lord says, you know, turn on the light. Or your parents say, turn on the light so you can see. Okay? So that makes perfect sense. Let's turn on the light to all this mess and start putting things in order. Right? Bless the Lord. Bless God. And so you need light. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 1, let there be light. Opposed to order, I mean to chaos, God wants order. He's a God of order. He is. Chaos is indicative then of being outside of, sometimes physically and sometimes mentally, outside of the will of God. Right? Look, you stay out there long enough, disorder is all about you. I mean, it starts, this makes sense, and it collapses, and while I'm doing this, I was doing this, and that's kicking me in the butt, and now I'm going to jail, and all just disorder. I mean, that's what happens, okay, outside of God. So when we're trying to make it happen, some things go wrong, but we decide that because it feels good, or the pursuit seems real, or is going to really work for my best interest, in my best interest, I'm going to soldier off and continue in my pursuit. When things start leaving shape and form and becoming out of shape, chaotic, and confused, you know, we're entering into darkness. This darkness that God turned the light on, we're ignoring that light and stepping back into darkness. Bless the Lord. Okay, the enemy is always luring us into what looks like light, but it's really darkness, right? Bless the Lord. So now God manages his affairs in darkness. He can manage in darkness. He's the one that said, let there be light, right? And in light. Okay, he can manage his affairs in light. Because he's light. Am I right? Okay. He's not the sun or the moon. Ironically, if you read Genesis, you first see God said, let there be light. But later on, down in 14, verse 14, he says, let's make the sun and the moon. There's a difference here, okay, in this light, okay? This illumination we need, right? Blind people can make it with the sunlight. They can't even see, and they're able to make it through this place. So it's not a physical thing here that we're talking about. We need that let there be light, okay? All right? We need his wisdom. So if I turn on the light in my room, I still need his wisdom to put the things in order. Bless the Lord. And I need to quit resisting because I want to go outside and play. Because that has more of a drive pulling me to the left. I need to quit resisting my heart's desire and tell the Lord, I want your illumination. I want it. I don't want it, but I want you to want me to want it. Bless the Lord. Bless God. This light stuff, this is serious stuff, okay? It's serious, but for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of move on down here. I will say that, you know, I don't need that. All right. Obviously, now we got communion, so I would, but I'm not. So, I don't want them to put my lights out, you know. I just want to. It says, I made that point. I could really go on, but I'm not. I'm going to say this. Okay, the New Jerusalem comes to mind or came to mind. Okay. And John is saying that when the angel took him to, I'm going to be so mad at myself. But when the angel took him to the mount. And then showed him the New Jerusalem coming down, all decorated with turquoise and lapis lazuli. Is that a stone? Jasper and give me some more emeralds and all this stuff, right? So rubies and all that, right? One the door's made of pearl, all this kind of sort of stuff. When he saw that coming down, well, of course he was amazed. But the scripture says it's not a but. In addition, the scripture says. And a sanctuary I did not see in it, for the Lord God the Almighty is its sanctuary, and the Lamb, and the city hath no need of sun nor moon, that they may shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp of it is the Lamb. There's that light again. That's not the sun or the moon. You get it? Okay. We don't need the sun or the moon in here because Jesus is the truth. He's that illumination in this city that we'll be able to walk into where doors will never close. Bring our wealth, our treasures into it, in and out as we please. Now, this doesn't mean that there'll be no sun or moon on the earth. We, the meek, inherit the earth. Okay? So we have access to the earth. But what it means is that there's no need for the sun and the moon. Right? In this place, because this light is bright enough. There's a difference. I remember I preached this sermon about the darkness you can feel. Remember that? This is physical darkness. You could feel it. in Exodus, right? When Moses was going back and forth with Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh was not willing to submit this area of his own heart, pride, right? And kept them stuck and bound. And then God called the plagues, the frogs, the locusts, and all of this. And then there was darkness that you could feel. It was so thick, you could feel it. That's not the darkness that we see in the evening, okay? We've never experienced anything like this before, okay? So I'm trying to make that distinction that in Genesis, it says he'll call darkness night, right? In Genesis, it says here, let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate. Oh, I'm gone too far. I'm sorry. It says, I hope I have it here. Let me reflect back on here. Somebody's getting it for me, Donna. Genesis 1, where, I want to say it right. Where is it? Anyway, trust me. Genesis 1 says, all right, here's the distinction. Darkness and light, day and night, morning and evening, okay? They're different. Darkness means night. And so what it says here in the New Jerusalem, there'll never be any more night because that's darkness. That doesn't mean there won't be any more evening or morning. You get what I'm saying? So I just kind of wanted to make that distinction, and I struggled there because I struggled when I was trying to get it together. That's when I was starting to have the chills and freezing and stuff because I was like, what the heck is going on here? You know, so this darkness that we can feel is more than likely indicative of the darkness that non-believers will inherit. You're in this thick darkness. Look, tohu vavohu. Chaos and confusion. When God said, let there be light, notice he didn't say, let there be light and darkness. He said, let there be light. And then he cancels out the darkness because he's light. We need the Lord, the illumination of the Lord. We need the Lord to illuminate our path in a way that the sun can't do and the moon can't do, and that we even can't coach each other or share our opinions with each other or any of these things, that we don't need that. We need the illuminating understanding from the light. That light that is found in the New Jerusalem, that's found in us. And look, he lives in us now. Am I making sense? Well, why do I have to ask you? Just say yes before I ask, okay? All right. Look, we need that light. That's the light we need. Okay. So all right. So now I'm going to wrap this up. We're not inheriting the New Jerusalem. We're inheriting the earth, which will include the New Jerusalem. Okay? We're not inheriting the earth. We're inheriting the New Jerusalem. I mean, we're not inheriting the New Jerusalem. We're inheriting the earth. That will include the New Jerusalem. Thank you. You come sit up front. Because I'm going to need some help here. So its gates shall not be shut by day, for night, darkness, shall not be there. No darkness. Night is canceled out. That darkness that was over the deep, with the Spirit of God brooding over it, that darkness will be gone. Okay? That thing that we have the opportunity of walking in on Friday night, you know, Conque. That won't be there. Though we will have a good time in the light. I'm serious. We can't expect to dance the Hebrew dance in 2025. We're going to dance, and it'll be dancing accustomed to your nature, your nationality, your everyone, every nation will be recognized in his kingdom. Every nation. That's why he wouldn't let a Holocaust or anything happen to annihilate a nation. With every nation's going to be represented. And we'll be able to appreciate each other's gifts and offerings. Okay? Bless the Lord. So don't just be uptight and then accuse a whole nation of being racist against you. Because there are people in those nations that are going to be there that love the Lord. The one lady pulls up and just gives us an offering. She's white. Right? She pulls up and drives and comes running in with the offering. Clamash, you let her in. You were out of town. Yeah, but the thing is that, but look, when you see the truth, the illumination, when you get this light, you can see, look, this is not just about me and what I've suffered. Everyone has suffered here. We're all cursed. Now, we go back and forth poking and hurting each other. Well, I'm the most suffered here. Then you'll be the most esteemed there. Okay, the lowest shall be the highest. Ask the Lord. And it's not something I just made up. Bless the Lord. Okay, so I was going to talk about Sheol and all this and coal and all that, but I'm not. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go have communion. Bless the Lord.